with the man who has been a journalist over 35 years in the Middle East. We're talking about David Dolan. This man is an author. He has traveled the world doing journalistic work, lived in the Middle East, as I said, for 35 years, and we always appreciate the opportunity to talk with him as one of our broadcast partners here on Prophecy Today. Thank you so much, David, for joining us. Let's get into the conversation. Most Israelis believe that the Iranian deal endangers them as it relates to what we know, or what we may not know really was what is bothering them, as it relates to this deal that came together last weekend there in Geneva. What is the heartbeat of the body politic and the leadership of Israel?
The people of Israel are just listening to the comments that have followed this nuclear deal in Geneva from various Iranian leaders. They see that nothing has changed. Ayatollah Khamenei soon afterwards saying this is verified. The world community has endorsed Iran's right to continue to enrich uranium by allowing it to continue to enrich uranium under this six-month deal. Now, President Obama and others have said that will be further negotiated, and they do hope to halt that. Obviously, the Iranian leaders are not going to do that, and they've gotten some sanctions relief. They believe more is on the way for some pretty minor concessions, as the Israelis would see it. They're going to supposedly allow the destruction of their 20% enriched uranium, which is uranium that can be rapidly further enriched to make it into a nuclear bomb in the process of just a few weeks, they say, the scientists say. That's supposed to be destroyed, but they can enrich other uranium up to that 20% level, maybe in secret. We know of two secret facilities, underground facilities, that they haven't allowed inspectors to see up until now, and those inspectors will get in to see them, and supposedly will be able to do that every day if they want to, according to this agreement, although we're seeing already the Iranians bucking at that, and they've said they have to set up dates in advance. Their people have to be there. It can't just be a quick sort of show up at any site. But maybe they have another hidden site. Maybe they have another five hidden sites where they can enrich uranium. We know they have 18,000 centrifuges at the very least in the country. Maybe they have 28,000. See, nobody really knows. We're dealing with a closed society. We're dealing with a country that's akin to pre-war Germany and World War II or some other places that were preparing for military action quite clearly. Then we had the head of the Revolutionary Guards a couple days ago say that the United States targets in the region would be in, quote, the crosshairs if there's any military action against Iran by Israel or anybody else. So they're still making threats against the U.S. as well as Israel. And, of course, Khamenei and President Rouhani and the head of the Revolutionary Guards, they all again repeated that Israel is weak and isolated and is going to disappear, is going to be annihilated, as Khamenei said again. Why should the Israeli public be resting? This, in fact, seems to have been a push forward for Iran. Iran is gloating over what it's calling its victory. And we had the foreign minister of Bahrain and some other Gulf state joined the chorus of Israeli rejection of this agreement this week, saying that this really does threaten the region, this isn't the solution, and they're not very happy with it. So apparently President Obama told Benjamin Netanyahu to cool it publicly, to stop making statements about the accord at this time, let's see how it works and how it works out. But no, there's no reason for the Israeli leadership or people to be very happy with this deal, because again, it does not mean the end of uranium enrichment, and that is the bottom line, what Israel wants to see, what it demands to see, because without that, there will be the potential of a nuclear bomb at any time. And Jimmy, on top of that, this Iraq nuclear reactor in the south that they're supposed to close down as part of this deal, well, now they're bucking against that. They're saying this isn't what the deal says, and in fact, the a spokesman at the Iranian Foreign Ministry said that the White House briefing paper that was put out detailing what was in this accord is all wrong, that it's distorted, that this is the American interpretation, not the Iranian interpretation. So what is this accord that we have? They don't even agree what's in there. So no reason for much confidence in Israel.
Well, you said something about Obama calling Netanyahu to tell Netanyahu, shut up. In essence, is he going to do that? Is he going to quieten down?
I doubt it, because, again, the issue here isn't a trivial one by any means. Again, we just have to remind your listeners. I know that people are listening in various states, some of them in the Northeast and small states like New Hampshire and Vermont, maybe some in New Jersey. That's the size of Israel. Israel's a tiny little country. Most of its Jewish population, 80%, is concentrated right along the Mediterranean coast in a band of land, Jimmy, that's 15 miles wide at its widest and about 120 miles long from just north of Haifa down through Tel Aviv to Ashkelon. That's 80% of Israel's 7 million Jews live in that belt. Just a crude nuclear device would be enough to wipe out a good portion of the Jewish state. And again, the Iranian leaders have not modified that rhetoric. They're still talking about Israel being destroyed, Israel being wiped out. They're engaged in something nuclear. And no, Netanyahu, I'm sure, is not under those circumstances going to remain silent. More importantly, he may just take action. If they feel that they're rushing towards a bomb, I'm convinced they would go at it militarily alone if they have to. And whatever the White House says is what the White House says. Again, this is an existential question for Netanyahu and the Israelis, a question of their very continuing existence. This isn't a bomb attack in New York or a bomb attack in L.A. or anything like that, as horrible as 9/11 was. This is a threat to wipe the entire country out, like Hitler did, and they're not going to just sit and watch that happen, certainly.
Yeah, and a report coming out this week in Israel itself that the Iranians could produce a nuclear weapon of mass destruction within 36 days. So that does mean the IDF has to be on alert, and you're pretty sure that they would not wait that 6 months. They would attack if they needed to.
If they absolutely needed to. It's obviously the last thing Netanyahu wants to do, and he's already getting blowback from people on the left in Israel, left-wing politicians of the Meretz Party and the Labor Party, warning him not to do this. It would crush relations with the United States and NATO and have dire economic consequences. And all these things are possible, and the Israeli leaders know that. But again, if you're sitting in that chair, Jimmy, and the choice is between offending a friend or saving your people from destruction, what would you do? So, you know, these are the issues he's pondering and his leadership team, Netanyahu, and I'm sure he's losing a little sleep over this.
Yeah, the only one choice you can make in that situation. Well, let's change the focus just a bit. This is the period of Hanukkah, a very high holy day as far as the Jewish people are concerned, and it was focused some 2,500 years ago on the temple that stood on the Temple Mount. Now there are Jewish MKs, a member of the Knesset, the legislative body, that are saying that the Jews must be allowed to go up onto the Temple Mount at this time of Hanukkah. This battle is continuing for the control of the Temple Mount, isn't it?
Well, it is, and of course that's the core issue at the heart of not just the Iranian-Israeli struggle, but the entire Muslim world insisting that there be no temple there. And by the way, Jimmy, just a short aside, this is the first time in modern history, and the scientists say it's the last time for many decades, that Thanksgiving and Hanukkah coincided. The first night of Hanukkah, Wednesday night, just before the American holiday of Thanksgiving. And Americans, and myself as well, over the years in Israel, we always get together and have a meal, have a turkey, etc. But most of the people aren't doing any celebrating. They're working. It's not a holiday in Israel. But this year, it was a holiday for everybody. Everybody was with their family giving thanks for God's miraculous deliverance in ancient times there on the Temple Mount. And it's quite historic, actually. And one Knesset member who's from the States hosted a dinner for American-born soldiers in Israel Thursday night. Didn't have any other family there, so wonderful in that sense. But yes, the struggle focused on the Temple Mount. It's going to continue to be that way, as you know, and the Bible says so. We are seeing a greater activist movement in Israel to amongst Orthodox Jews to be allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. Greater pressure is mounting in that direction every year. The Jordanians and others are fighting against that. The Palestinian Authority is fighting against that. And that's the core issue. So Hanukkah reminds us that it's been an issue for a long time. Nothing new there. But a victory in the end, Hanukkah, the God of Israel had his victory. And, of course, the Bible tells us the same will be the case with the current struggle.
Amen. That is going to be the case. Well, praise the Lord for this good report of Hanukkah and what's happening in the Jewish state of Israel. The man who does that for us is David Dolan. He has been there so many years, he knows how to give us insight into the stories behind the headlines. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.